I am Ben Baker. For those of you who don't know who I am, I get to be one of the pastors here at Rooted. And I'm glad to see everyone here this morning as we continue our celebration of Christmas. We're going to continue examining the Gospel of Luke. Tyler did verses 1 to 7 last week, and I'll be covering verses 8 to 21. If you want to open up your Bibles to that passage, I'm going to read it. Thank you, Kurt. Glad you're doing better. Are you doing better? Who said liar? All right. So Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes, lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise the child, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he was conceived. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, first of all, we thank you for this account and all the characters, all the voices that were a part of us receiving this account of Jesus' birth and the announcement of it. Lord, as we spend time hearing and looking at each one of these voices, I pray that you would teach us how to use our own voice to spread the same message. In Jesus' name. Amen. The most life-changing message in the world went wherever it could go to whomever would listen with no fluff. It moved, it adapted, it fled. It spent time person to person while people marveled, not just at what God can do for me, but at the astonishing reality that God did anything at all. How did God launch a worldwide movement not on a budget of $0 in small villages with no social media, no buildings, no famous preachers, sparked by the birth of a baby? Something about the gospel of Jesus is universal. It doesn't need to be professionally packaged, elaborately presented, or free of distractions. In our first Christmas here at Rooted, we find ourselves in a similar position to those first families. Let's learn from their example. This month, let's try to receive the gospel of Jesus in its simplicity, and learn how we share the gospel of Jesus in our simplicity. Jesus was not presented to huge crowds. God did not announce his gospel with a parade on national media or to kings. God announces himself. But don't be caught up looking for the grand, powerful voices of the world to announce God. They may not want God to be announced, but he still speaks to you. He wants you to know his plan of salvation, his goodness in your life, his leading. God doesn't need your voice to be bigger. He wants you to use the voice you have for someone who might listen. We're going to be looking at four voices in this passage today. The first one you may not recognize as being a voice since it's actually the written word. The Gospel of Luke itself. Luke is the one that records this gospel. But who is Luke? Who is this man? First of all, he's not even Jewish by birth. He's a Gentile. He wrote the Gospel of Luke, but he also wrote the book of Acts. We hear about him often in Paul's teaching. Go to that first slide. There are three passages where he's mentioned. 1 Corinthians 4:14, our dear friend Luke, the doctor, and Demas send greetings. So we learn something about Luke. He's a doctor. He's a physician. So he's a man of science. He's a man of logic. He's a thinker. He's an intelligent man. Now, his medical field might have been a little bit different than our medical field today that we experience, but he was educated. And we said in 2 Timothy 4:11, only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you because he is helpful to me in my ministry. So we learned that Luke spent a lot of time with Paul, as Paul wrote 2 Timothy. He traveled with Paul. And that's why we have the book of Acts with all of Paul's missionary journeys. And then in Philemon, and so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. And we learn a third thing. He is a fellow worker with Paul in planting churches and going around and traveling with him. Now, the question is, how did Luke use his voice? Go to the next slide. If you go back to Luke chapter 1, you have an account here of what Luke's intentions are in verse 1. Many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the first were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. With this in mind, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, I too decided to write an orderly account for you, the most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things you have been taught. So we find here that Luke started writing the gospel not because he saw everything that happened. He is coming on the scene years after Jesus' resurrection and ascension. And he is going around talking to the people that were present in those days so that he can make a clear account and investigate the actual steps of Jesus' life and use his writing, his voice, to talk to whoever would listen. And it says Theophilus was the one that he was writing to. So Luke just has his one method, and he used probably scientific method, being that he's an educated man. He spent time organizing things and putting things in somewhat of a chronological order, and he wrote them all down, and all for the purpose of how many people? One person, Theophilus. That's the only person he was focused on in communicating the story of the life of Jesus in this particular context, the birth of Jesus. Just one. He didn't have big grand ideas, big plans of letting anyone know. He had no idea that the Gospel of Luke would be part of the biblical canon that we have today. This was a personal letter that he was writing to Theophilus so that Theophilus would listen. We only have our own voice and the people that we know. And we only share what we do know with those people who will listen to us. And that's the first voice we see in this account is Luke. The second voice is probably the next most obvious one, and that's the angels themselves. The account begins with the angels suddenly appearing in the fields because there's shepherds during the night. And I always have in my mind, probably yours as well, shepherds gathered around a fireplace trying to stay warm. You know, not a fireplace, but they built a fire out in the open, and they're trying to stay warm, and they're sitting there. Tradition holds that they're out there because they're protecting the lambs that have been set apart for the purpose of Passover. So that's the background. On this very night that Jesus is going to be announced regarding his birth, they're there guarding, most likely, the lambs that have set aside that are pure and prepared for sacrifice. And suddenly in that moment, they have this angel appear to them and make this incredible announcement. Let's read it together again. Do not be afraid. I think I would be terrified. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger. Suddenly, added to that one angel, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, on earth peace to those whom his favor rests." So that's the message the angels bring. I want you to go to that last slide. Here's the message, and I put this in Greek for you so that you can see that each one of these words are actually different Greek words describing something different about Jesus. So this is their message. This one is soter, which is Savior. This one here is Christos, which obviously you can figure out is Christ, and Kyrios is Lord. Each one of those words says something different about who Jesus is. The first soter is rescuer. They're going to rescue. He's coming as a rescuer to the nation of Israel, to all people, as the angels say, because it's good news for everyone. The second thing is Christos. That's the Messiah, the anointed one. So that could be translated, and you often see this in the biblical text, that is translated as Messiah rather than Christ. But the same exact thing. It all means this is someone that is special. But it's also referencing the idea, the concept of something prophesied about, foretold about, coming. Someone unique that has been set aside and anointed by God. And the third thing we hear is that he's Lord, Kyrios. That's a reference to authority. So the angel's message is rather limited. How much did the shepherds understand of what they were hearing? Don't really know. Not really sure. We understand what those three words mean, Savior, Christ, and Lord. We recognize that the rescue piece of it is the fact that Jesus is going to die on the cross for our sins. But did the shepherds make that connection? No. It was a message, but there were lots of questions that the shepherds probably would have had about what each one of these titles for Jesus would mean. I like emphasizing the voices of the shepherds in this case, because you end up having angels that came from the throne of God. You know, if you go back in our Revelation study, there we know what they were doing, worshiping God, recognizing the Holy One, and praising him. And they come, and their message is rather limited. It's not elaborate. It's not a long explanation. It's not a lot of theology. It's not a lot of biblical teaching. They give a very straightforward, simple message to the shepherds. That's it. We often think that we have to have everything, every understanding about who Jesus is before we share with our voice who Jesus is. And all we have to do is point to Jesus, because that's all that they are doing. They are a road sign saying, go see Jesus. Go to Jesus. And that's all we are here. All of us. We're just road signs to point to Jesus. We don't have to give a full and complete theological treatise on who Jesus is in order to share Jesus with other people. We share what we know. That's all that they shared. And that is all that we're called to share. The third voice is that of the shepherds. Shepherds are rather your average Joes of the day. I mean, they were dirty. They worked with sheep. They didn't take a shower every night when they got home. They were out at night, right? In this case, they're sitting around a campfire. They're not the people that people are looking for. They're out in the field by themselves, away from the crowd. They're not highly educated like Luke, nor have they come from the presence of God. They just simply do their jobs in caring for the sheep. And we're told what they did. Verse 15, when the angel left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. And so they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen, they spread the word concerning what they had been told about this child. They just simply shared what they experienced. That's all they did. They didn't add anything. They didn't have anything else elaborate. It was a pretty amazing story, without a doubt, to see otherworldly beings suddenly appearing, a host, thousands, and singing the praises of God and of Jesus, this child. Absolutely, they had an amazing story. Do you think everybody listened to the shepherds? Do you think everybody heard what they had to say? I mean, these guys were not educated people. They spent a lot of time out in the wild by themselves around a campfire, and they come telling this amazing story. They shared what they saw with those who would listen. That's it. And that's all that we're called to do, is share what we know. What is your story of Jesus? How has Jesus impacted and changed your life? Often did this in the class that Tyler and I went through, in preparation for planning this church, is we do an elevator speech. Anyone ever done an elevator speech? You know, for your testimony. So you could share your testimony about 3 minutes with somebody while you're on the elevator. That's the whole idea. from go between floors, that's where the idea comes from. And it's pretty simple. It's to the point, and it's all about focusing on Jesus. Come and see Jesus. Do you know Jesus? I know Jesus. You want to meet Jesus? It's very simple. It's all that is. And that's all that we're called to do, is to share our story with someone else. We can't force them to hear us. In an elevator, there is a captive audience. That's why it's, you use that opportunity. Anybody ever done that? Shared their story on an elevator or started a conversation on an elevator? I have. Yeah, I know you, Shirley. I have. Say hi. You're standing there. The music's playing. The elevator music going, right? Hey, how's your day going? You start talking to someone, oftentimes, what? That's kind of the response because they're not used to someone actually talking to you. And you just, hey, my name's Ben. Oh, what's your name? Yeah. What's your coming here? I start conversations like that on occasion in the elevator just to talk because who gets tired of elevator music? I'd rather be talking to someone that's just standing there in the elevator. And that's so simple. It just takes saying hi to someone, showing an interest in them, asking a question, and then you get an opportunity to share your story about Jesus. And it doesn't have to be long and elaborate. It doesn't have to be a theological treatise. God does all that. They may ignore you. They may forget you when they walk through the elevator doors and go on about their life and their business. They may walk away thinking, that was weird. Who knows? You don't have control over their response. You do have control over you sharing your story. And we're called to share the story. The fourth voice, the last voice, actually I want to focus on, is Mary's. Mary's voice. Do you see Mary's voice in this passage? I see Mary's voice all over this passage. Remember, Luke went to eyewitnesses in order to get the story straight. Do you think the shepherds were around when Luke started interviewing them? No, because Mary was a very young girl, somewhere between the age of, you know, a young teen to, you know, not even in her 20s or something like that. We're not really sure what her exact age was, but she was a young girl when Jesus was born, when all this account occurred. We also don't ever hear about Joseph in the Gospels. So it seems apparent that Joseph probably died early in Jesus' life at some point. So the shepherds are gone. Who's left to share what happened on this night? Mary. Mary is the one. Why do you think if that Luke included that statement here in verse 19? But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. It seemed out of place to the story, you know, to some degree. Luke is identifying his eyewitness that he's interviewing, sitting there, hearing the story from Mary. Women were not educated in this day. Women were not even considered important in this day. But Mary used her voice, and Luke would not have had this account had he not heard from Mary and given the chance for Mary to share her story of this night. I had this image in my mind of them sitting around a table, you know, in Mary's house, you know, and Luke sitting there. And Jesus and Mary starting to go on about what that day was like. That night, all of a sudden the shepherds are showing up. And they're saying they saw these angels. And the angels were saying this, all this stuff. And she, you know, she's a young girl. She's astounded. I loved the fact that Tyler called out last week what it meant for them to have no guest room. Remember that? Last week when Tyler emphasized in the text that some texts say there is no room in the inn, other texts say there is no guest room, because it was common for people, as Tyler said, when they would go to other locations, and this is, Bethlehem is the town of David where Joseph's family would have lived and Mary's family, and they normally would have gone to those relatives to stay for the night since she's even pregnant, but they were closing their doors to them because she was pregnant out of wedlock. Now, they were married at that time probably, but they were closing their doors. It was a traumatic night for Mary, filled with all kinds of things going on and messages from shepherds about angels. And we're told here that Mary hid them all up in her heart and pondered them. And Luke is sitting there hearing the story. I think we know with confidence what the shepherds actually heard and what the shepherds actually said because Mary recalled every word of it. So they showed up, and what Luke has written in this account is what Mary remembers, what the shepherds actually spoke and shared with them. And she just simply shares her story. Not a long, elaborate one. How long did it take me to read this passage? Not very long, you know, a couple of minutes. But what a powerful message. Good news of great joy for all the people. That was the simplicity of the message. And that's the simplicity of our message. We got some good news. We celebrate Jesus' birth. And we know because he is the Soter, the Savior, the rescuer, what he has come to earth to do in order to, he is going to pay the price for our sins. That is good news. So that we can be set free, so that we can have the hope of heaven, and that he rose from the dead. That is a simple message. And we can talk about how it has changed my life and your life. We are called to share a simple message with our voice with whoever will listen. I want to close with one passage. Go to Matthew chapter 22. It's the parable of the wedding banquet. I love this because there are so many analogies in it, and it really fits for what we're called to do. Matthew chapter 22, beginning at verse 1. Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. Then he sent some servants and said, 'Tell those who have been invited that I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and fattened cattle have been butchered, and everything is ready for the coming banquet.' But they paid no attention and went off, one to his field, another to his business. The rest seized his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. So go to the streets, corners, and invite the banquet. Invite to the banquet anyone you find. Go tell with your voice to anyone who will listen, that the banquet is ready.'" That is our message. It's the same message. We don't get to control who will listen to our message. We don't get to control how someone will respond even to our message. Only God does that. But we are called to share our story. And as we go through this Advent season, the message that we need to be remembering that this is all about is that it's all about Jesus. And this is a great opportunity to share our story about Jesus with anyone who would listen. What does Christmas mean to you? It means your Savior, the God with us. It means your Lord has entered into this world, lived among us, to die on the cross for us. And eventually, he's going to return. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do celebrate the birth of Jesus. What a wondrous story, an account, God becoming flesh. Lord, we would expect it to be announced from the heavens with horns and angels so that all the world would see. But you don't do it that way. You do it simply through each one of us as we share how you have changed me. Come see Jesus. Lord, help us. Help us to be courageous and bold to share this simple message. In Jesus' name, amen.